I want to welcome you to the Healing School. In the Healing School, we teach you about healing for only one purpose, and that is so that you can be healed. I believe and trust with you that today is the last day that you will carry the sickness that you've got in your body. You are the healed of God. You are supposed to be healed. You are supposed to be whole. You are supposed to be well. And that's what the Scriptures teaches us. That's the very intention of God Almighty, to have you healed. Amen. And we're going to see that happen to you today. Settle one thing in your heart before we get into the Scriptures, before we watch miracles, before any of those things. Settle one thing in your heart. You are going to be healed. You are the healed. Doesn't matter what happens, you are the healed of God. And you are settling for healing today. Today is your day of healing. Amen. You might say, but Bertie, every time I click on the Healing School, it's the same sermon. It doesn't matter. The Word of God says that His Word is alive. It is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. So His Word is not dead. As long as what you hear it, it brings life. The hearing of the Word is the manifestation of Jesus in your heart. That's what it is. It produces belief. It produces faith. Amen. So, I've seen it so many times. This Bible has been written a very long time ago. And when you read it, it's still alive today. It wasn't even written to you. It was written to other churches. But when you hear it, it produces life. So it's the very same with what you hear on this web page right now. It is absolute healing for you. It's life. It's God. It is not Bertie. It is God speaking through my voice unto you, telling you, I've got compassion on you, and this is your day for healing. Amen. Now, let's quickly establish something as a foundation here, and that is that God wants people healed. You might think healing is not for today. Healing was only when Jesus walked the earth, and for the 12 apostles, and that's it. It's not the truth. Healing was before Jesus came. You can look in the Old Testament. Jesus did many, many miracles of the Father. Many people got healed. When they looked at the snake that was put on the pole, when the serpents would bite them, they would be healed. Naaman was healed. Many people were healed in the Old Testament. And then you can also see in the New Testament, or not the New Testament, in the days of Jesus, Jesus healed thousands of people. And then you can see how the apostles walked in the power of God. But what is so nice is that other disciples besides the 12 apostles also healed people, like Paul. Paul wasn't one of the 12. He became a believer of Jesus Christ years after Jesus went to heaven. And the same with Philip the evangelist. He wasn't part of the 12, but God used him. It was the same with Cornelius. God used him. So God did miracles through Stephen. God used him. Many signs and wonders happened through the guy, and he wasn't one of the 12. So the Spirit would come upon everybody or anybody that was willing and heal through them. The very same for today. The healing is not based on who's a man of God or he is not a man of God. Healing is based on who God is, who Jesus is, and what He's done for you. The deeper you can dig into His finished work, the easier it would be for you to be healed. Jesus went and He healed. He showed His goodness. He portrayed who the Father is. We can read that in John chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." So Jesus Christ came and He declared unto us who the Father was. He came and He explained. He said, "This is the Father." You know, in the Old Testament, we look at Elijah, we look at Moses, we look at a lot of people, and we think, who is God? What do they portray about God? But Jesus came and He explained who the Father was, because He saw who the Father was. And the perspective of Jesus was completely different than the perspective of Moses or Elijah or Elisha or any of the Old Testament prophets. The perspective of Jesus was grace. The perspective of Jesus was mercy. He saw God as a God of love. It was not the perspective of the Pharisees of those days. It was the perspective of kindness. He would heal on the Sabbath day. He would love people. He would have compassion. The Bible says He was moved with compassion and healed them. So, just before your healing, I can tell you, and this is right now, it's just before your healing, you're going to receive your healing today. God is moved with compassion. When He sees you with that arthritis in your hands, He's moved with compassion because He feels you need a shepherd. You need somebody to care for you. You need somebody to see that your wounds are being bound up and that you are healed. Amen. And He is the good shepherd. He's got compassion on His sheep. He's got compassion on you today. He feels in His heart with you as you are going through this hard time. And I want to tell you, that is awesome to know. God is on your side. He's not the one that brings the sickness to you. He doesn't bring it to you. He's the one that wants you healed. So we can see in the scripture clearly that He came to explain who the Father was. And then I want to read one scripture in Acts 10:38, showing what He portrayed. Verse 37. That word I say you know, which was published or preached throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we were witnesses of these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now, this is awesome. Jesus came and He portrayed who the Father was. He said, if you see Me, you see the Father. So if you look at what Jesus has done, you look at what the Father was busy with. He was the perfect representation. He was the mirror image, if I can put it like that, of who the Father was. When Jesus touched somebody and healed somebody, it's because He saw the Father doing that. And nobody ever saw God. Nobody ever understood God. But Jesus explained who He was. And how did He explain it? By doing good. Amen. So, I want to tell you, maybe some Christians have got such a warped idea of good, they don't even know what's good. Sickness is not good. Poverty is not good. Worrying is not good. A bad marriage is not good. Children that's on drugs, that situation is not good. Now, Jesus came to do good. So, He cannot lead you into sickness. He cannot lead you into poverty. He cannot bring you in a desert experience to take you away from the healing power of God. No. He came to bring forth healing towards you. He manifested the Father by doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with Him. So who is God? God is a person that God that delivers from the oppression of the devil. And there was a woman that was bent over, the Bible says, and Jesus healed her, for she was oppressed of the devil. So sickness is an oppression. It's not from God. It is from the devil. Now that's the first thing I want to say. Jesus wants you healed. Now let's have another look at another scripture in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Today is your day of having a miracle. It speaks about Jesus. It says, when He came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now remember, Jesus represented who the Father was. He looked at the Father. The Father said, I'm willing. Then He stretched forth His hand and He said, I am willing. And He was healed. So it was the will of the Father, the will of God, to heal. James clearly says that with God there is no shadow of turning. He does not change. He is the same. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If God does not heal today, it means that He has changed. and he has not changed. So let that settle into your heart. You know, when Jesus stood in front of that leper, the very same Jesus is alive today in bodily form, seated at the right hand of the Father, and his spirit, the heart of who God is, indwells me right now, telling this to you. So you are standing in front of Jesus, not me, I'm not Jesus, I'm talking about Christ, there where you are, in front of your computer, or wherever you're watching this. As you sit and watch your computer screen, I want to tell you, Jesus is ever present with you right now, as with this leper. And this leper knew that Jesus had the ability to heal, but he doubted if he would want to, if he wants to heal him. Let's read it. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, the leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So he knew Jesus had the ability, but he doubted if he would heal him. He was actually saying, I know he can, but I don't know if it's the will of God right now. Maybe you are right there. You are saying, I know Jesus can heal me, but I doubt if it is the will of God right now. Jesus said, I am willing, and by saying that, he removed the doubt that was in the man's heart. When that doubt was removed, he received. Hallelujah. Now, when we look at Jesus, which is the perfect representation of the Father, and he went about doing good, healing, it means that he is the same today and that he is still a healer today. I've heard so many teachings, you know, God took me through a desert experience. And that's the second point I want to get to. The first one was, does God want to heal? And does he heal today? And we've answered that. The second one is, can God use sickness to teach me? The answer is no. You might say, but Bert, you know, I've seen many sick people. When they become sick, then they grab a hold of God, get saved, get born again, or, you know, just have a deeper experience with God. Now, I don't care what the experiences are of people. We look at the Word of God, and out of the Word of God, we explain things. And I will explain to you why people in hard times get healed and in hard times meet with God. Now, the first thing is, he said, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus was willing, and he healed him. We will not read of in one place in the Bible where Jesus ever brought sickness unto anybody in order to teach him. Not once. When the Bible said, and Jesus, the people sat down, Jesus went unto a boat into the Sea of Galilee, and then he started to teach the people. Didn't say, listen, I wanted you to have a deep relationship with me, so let me just give the flu to all of you, and then you now gonna be drawn unto me. No. You are not drawn unto somebody from the depth of your heart, having respect, love, and honor, if he brings sickness or anything bad towards you. And one of the greatest lies that there could ever be is what I call the desert teaching. The desert teaching is such an awful, awful teaching, because everything hard and everything bad is projected towards God, saying God is leading me into the desert, God is teaching me in the desert, God is purifying me in the desert, and which is not the truth. It is not the truth. We are not in the desert. We are born in Canaan land. We are born in the promised land, and we are experiencing all the benefits of the promised land today. And many people might say, but the promised land is heaven. I don't see the promised land as heaven. I see the promised land as the kingdom or the place of God's rulership. And that's where we entered into the day we received Jesus as our Savior. So, the first thing you must know is Jesus wants to heal you. The second thing is Jesus doesn't bring sickness to teach you. If sickness was the teacher of the church, the wisest people would be in the hospitals. If poverty was the teacher of the church, Ethiopia had to send missionaries to America. Now, it doesn't work that way. South Africa is sending a lot of missionaries all over the world, and is one of the most prosperous, if it's not the most prosperous country in Africa. Okay? America is sending missionaries all over the world, and they're a prosperous nation. The blessed are those who know God. So never think that a hard times teaches you anything, because if you think that God teaches you through sickness, how will you ever receive healing? Because by receiving your healing, you also say, I am not willing to be taught anymore. So sickness is not from God. Sickness does not work for God. The devil doesn't work for God. The devil is self-employed. That's the way it is. It doesn't work for God. It's not God's left-hand man and Jesus the right-hand man. That's not the truth. The truth is that God is good. God is a healer. And that He is ready to heal you right now. Amen. So, the second point we made, God doesn't use sickness to teach you. Another thing is, God doesn't lead you through tests. You might think, you know, maybe this is a test. God testing my faith, seeing if I am really going to trust Him. Why would God want to do that? He knows all things. But He wants me to know if I've got faith to withstand the test of cancer. Now, do you have faith or don't you have faith? You know if you've got the faith or not. And what will you do if you know? You know, so many times we will, because we don't know how to answer something, we'll get such reckless teachings that comes out of not knowing, instead of just saying, I don't know. We will start so many funny teachings. But let me tell you, God doesn't lead you through trials, tests, and temptations in order to purify you. The Bible says, let no man say when he's tempted, tested, tried, or scrutinized, that he's tempted, tested, tried, or scrutinized of God. For God tempts, tests, tries, and scrutinizes no one. Isn't that awesome? God is not this God trying to test you, trying to put you through hard times. Sickness, why would God send His Son, Jesus Christ, die upon a cross, take the sickness of the world upon Jesus, let all the sickness that's in the world have its heyday in the body of Jesus Christ, and then say, well, we just keep a little bit over so that we can just make sure the church is pure. So that we can test them and purify their faith. No, God doesn't use sickness to test you. It's not the truth. Sickness is of the devil. If you think God uses sickness to test you, then you will welcome the sickness, because you will say, if I test, I graduate to a next level. If I'm tested and qualify, I graduate to a next level. Let me tell you, the church is not a level church. A levels church, different levels. You know, you enter in, then you're just a nothing, and then you go through hard times, and as you pass the hard times, standing in faith, then you go into a next level, and then God tests you again, and if you don't qualify, you write the test again. That stuff preaches nice, but it's not the truth, and it's not faith promoting. So never think that this sickness you've got is a test of God. It's not a test of God. It is just something bad. It's not from God. It's from the devil. It's a result of sin. Now, you might just say, oh, Bertie, now there you say it. It might be a result of somebody else's sin. You might have a broken hip because of somebody else's sin, being drunk and driving, and now you sit with a problem. It is a result of sin. It's a result of a broken world. It's not a result of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Why would God break your hip and then heal you again? There's no purpose in that. You might say, but Bertie, maybe through hard times we might know God is a healer. Hey, why do you want to go through a hard time to know if God's a healer? Just read the scriptures. Watch a Benny Hinn show. That's it. Check Pastor Chris. Look at T.B. Joshua. Go to the miracle section of this website and just see for yourself. Why do you want to go through hard times to learn? No. Hard times are not, it's not the teacher of the church. We don't have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and hard times. That's not the truth. We've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers teaching the church. So that we need the Holy Spirit, we need the Word, we need teachers in order to teach the church. Isn't that awesome? So, hallelujah. I'm teaching you the truth right now and removing all doubt from your heart. Number one, God wants to heal you. Number two, God will never take you through hard times in order to purify you. Number three, God is not going to test you. This is not a test. It's just something that's from the pit of hell that's not supposed to be in your body. Amen. Now, let's connect healing to the cross. The fourth point we are touching here. Healing and the cross. If we understand the work of Jesus Christ, we will understand our right to healing. You've got a right to be healed. You don't have to be sick. You've got a right to be healed. Man, I tell you, as I preach this, I experience an anointing. I experience the presence of the Lord upon me. And right there where you are going to be healed, I promise you. You're going to receive the healing power of God. And you're going to just click on that button that says, I want to testify. And you're going to send your praise report. You are going to be healed today. Amen. Open your heart for that. He loves you enough. You know, what we need to believe is not if God has got the ability. What we need to believe is, does He love me enough to heal me? He does. Amen. And we settle our minds and our hearts in that. He loves me enough to give me healing for free. Now, if we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, we will see in Isaiah 54, it says that He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. Now, let's quickly go to Isaiah 53, and we're just going to read that. It's an awesome piece of scripture, and we'll have to go to Psalm 103, and just see what he says. The healing is for us. Hallelujah. Now, one thing I need to say is, before I read this, because I'm going to read this from the perspective of perfection. Now, what I mean by that is, that healing has come unto all the world, and all the world has already been healed. That's what I'm going to show out of this. But like with Adam, remember, when Adam was in the garden, evil also existed. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan existed. Adam was born and he was founded in a state of righteousness. And in order for him to leave that state of righteousness into unrighteousness, he had to apply faith. Without faith, he could never go from his one state of being into the next state of being. Now remember, faith is not something you do. It's not something you try to work up. Faith is something that happens to you when you hear grace. So as you listen to this, and as you dig into the Word well, into the message of grace, faith, unconditional love, what God says about you, peace with God, all those messages, you will just have such an awesome a faith coming into you, knowing that all things can just be manifested to you and that it has happened. And then you will see it will happen and manifest in your life. Now, I don't want to make it difficult. It's very easy. But for Adam to get out of his place that he was born in, he needed persuasion or faith. The devil came, persuaded him, and then he acted on his faith, and then he walked into death. But all of us are born in a broken world. We are born in a sinful world. So righteousness and healing has come unto everybody. But now the same way in which Adam went into sin is the way we go from a sinful state or a state of having sickness into health. It's by faith. The way righteousness has appeared unto all men. Grace has appeared unto everybody, the Bible says. Salvation has come unto everybody. But you know what? Everybody is not clean. Everybody is not saved. But everybody's sin is paid for. But unless you believe it, you will not walk into it. So, I don't want to say, oh, you know, faith is this law. You must now try to believe. Now, all I'm saying is, when I tell you everybody has been healed, you must know that you have also been healed. And as this persuasion comes into your heart effortlessly, remember, healing is supposed to be effortless. The labor we have is to enter into the rest, so that from a place of rest, we can effortlessly receive our healing. Don't try to work up faith, walking the floor, confessing, thinking, I'm confessing, I'm renewing my mind, hallelujah. Now, there's nothing wrong with confessing the Scriptures. But if you think that the confession of Scripture is your Savior, I've got bad news for you. You're not going to be healed. If you can come to a place where you say, the faith of Jesus Christ was big enough to bring healing unto me, and all I do is I put my faith in the fact that His faith was big enough, then you are healed. That's it. And I want to testify at this point before we read the scripture. My boy, my oldest boy, is now 11. When he was 3 or 4 years old, I can't remember exactly, or 5, we were in Zambia. And there he got malaria. And I tell you, we were so poor that time, we couldn't even pay attention. What about buying all the right tablets before we go and all? We couldn't do that. He got malaria. We got some tablets for him. And he was on his way to recover from that. But what also happened was, he was allergic to any dairy product. And also, every preservative that there is, he was like allergic to it. So what can the child eat? It's basically nothing. It was a real bad thing. If he would eat a yellow Simba chip, I tell you, we would go to the hospital sometimes. Take him to the hospital. He couldn't breathe. And it was a bad thing. And I was just believing and trusting and all of those things for him to be healed. And for 3 years, nothing happened. He wasn't healed. It was just getting worse. You know, his teeth was rotting because of all the antibiotics that we gave him, because there was just no other way. Now, and we were poor. I tell you, we couldn't get all these organic things. I had to get a garden and stuff and do the thing that way. It was a massive thing in my life. And I would just say, man, give him the stuff. Let him eat. You know, and people say, oh, you're trying your faith on your child and whatever. And then I got into the message of grace. I started to minister the message of grace. And I just said, my son is healed because of the cross. And I would pray for him. Nothing would happen for 3 years. And then one day we were in Zambia. And I experienced the same anointing as what I just experienced when I told you, everybody's going to be healed. You're going to be healed. And I said to the people, you know, you're going to be healed today. Those who are sick, stand up. You know, nobody stood up. They didn't believe me. But my wife stood up and held my boy in her arms, and I prayed the prayer of healing, and he was healed that day until today. I also had a doctor friend, Dr. Sean McKinnon, and from Potchefstroom. He said to me, he will test my son for sugar diabetes, and he'll give me his 4x4 Pajero. He'll put it down if he'll give it to me if he does not have sugar diabetes. All the symptoms was there. My son is completely healed today. Hallelujah. And all I did was I just said, thank you, my God, for your grace. And by grace, he was healed. Not through trying to confess, pulling it down. I've tried that. He couldn't be healed. And then I just said, my God will heal him. He is the healed. And I went on praying for the sick, seeing blind eyes open, deaf ears hearing. And in one of those services, my son also got healed by grace. I can honestly say it wasn't by my many confessions, by my claiming and all of that. It was by the grace of God. And know what's wonderful? The grace of God has appeared unto all men. That grace is appearing unto you right now, so that you can also be healed. Isaiah 50... 53. Let's read there from verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, we can see here that he bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows. Your griefs, he carried it. He carried your sickness. Hallelujah. It says, by his wounds, through his wounds, ye were healed. Now, he carried your sickness. That's what he did. You know, if we look at this and we go and look into every part of the scripture, we will see that he carried our sicknesses. He carried our infirmities, one translation says. So, our infirmities was upon him. So, what happened? When Adam sinned, and you need to understand this, this is going to bless you. When Adam sinned, he had the right to sickness. And sickness had the right to him. So, before he sinned, sickness had no right in the body of Adam. He couldn't get into the body of Adam. So, when he sinned, sickness was activated. We never read of any sickness in the Garden of Eden or in heaven whatsoever. But when sin entered, then sickness entered as well, because sickness was the punishment for disobedience. Now, we can go and read that from Deuteronomy 28 and verse 60. Now, we must remember that we are actually, that is a follow-up and still curses being pronounced from verse 15, where it says, "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you this day, that these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Then it goes to verse 16. "Moreover, He will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which thou was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon you until you be destroyed." So, when you disobey the commandment of the Lord, then the Lord will bring sickness upon you. Now, thank God for Jesus Christ. Sickness was brought upon Jesus by God. So, all of the sicknesses that was not even mentioned in the book of the law, whatever sickness is not even mentioned between these two black covers, AIDS, sugar diabetes, lung disease, cancer, all those sicknesses that has never been mentioned, when you disobey, would come upon man. And man disobeyed, and it had to come upon man. But God prepared a body, Jesus Christ, and said, man disobeyed, through his disobedience, the sickness is going to come unto every one of us. But then God took all the sickness that ever was, that was on the earth when Jesus walked the earth, and that would ever be, He took all of that sickness, put it upon the body of Jesus Christ. Now, I personally believe, and I also heard Andrew Womack preach this, that every sickness manifested in the body of Jesus when He was upon the cross. Every sickness. Everything. He didn't have a broken bone. He had nothing when He came to the cross. But when He came upon the cross, and He was nailed and He was hanging there, and sickness came upon Him. I tell you, every cancer, every elephantitis, every type of skin disease, every type of brokenness came upon His body. He carried your sickness, He carried your infirmity, He carried your iniquity upon that cross. And sickness had its right in the body of a human being by the authority of God. And God said, you're going to receive all sickness. Jesus received it all. He received the cancer you've got now. His intestines started to push against one another because of cancer growths that was just taking over His body. That's what happened. The Bible says He was not recognizable as a human being. You could not recognize Him as a human. He was a piece of sickness hanging there. He was ugly. He carried your sickness. Hallelujah. Upon the cross. It is your healing that He died for. He carried it. You can be healed today. Hallelujah. So, know this, that all sickness was in the body of Jesus Christ. Yours as well. That arm that doesn't want to work, it was upon Jesus Christ. That twisted back came into the body of Jesus Christ. His knuckles became like this because of arthritis. Just going through every bone in His body. He, inside His back came all types of osteoporosis, you name it. He carried it upon the cross for you. So, if sickness is in your body today, and you believe on Jesus, you can truly say out of your heart, sickness, you've got no right in my body. It's got no right. It had its time in Jesus. So when we pray and when we believe, when we pray the prayer of faith, you receive your healing and sickness is driven out from you by the authority of Jesus Christ, and we rule over that and we cast it out. Amen. And you are healed today. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? That is absolutely powerful. Now, the last scripture we're going to look at before we pray for you is John chapter 5. Man, this is just an absolute awesome piece of scripture explaining grace when it comes to healing. So many times we've made a work of confession, thinking the more I confess and the more I speak right, the more I will be healed. Now this man that was at the pool of Bethesda, and that's what we're going to read about, he didn't confess everything right. He didn't even believe in Jesus, but he was healed. Amen. So it was not by right confessing. You know, the Bible is not about right living. It's just about right believing. And that's all it's about. If we can just believe Jesus, that's all. And let's look at it. It says here, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which was called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled or stirred the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Are you willing to be healed? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up your bed and walk. So what happened here? Jesus heard faith here. He heard something here that just blessed him. Now, you know, under the law, and I believe this whole pool of Bethesda thing is under the law, and it explains the law system, only the fastest and the best could receive. Now, if there was somebody there that was paralyzed, but there was also somebody there that was deaf in the one ear, you know, and the angel would come at any time, so they would lie maybe under the trees or, I don't know how it looked there, in the shade, waiting for the stirring of the water. And when the water is stirred, then you've got to run, and the first guy, the fastest, the best, he would receive healing. Now, I mean, if there's somebody that's paralyzed and there's somebody that's deaf, I mean, it's not fair. The deaf guy can run much faster than the paralyzed guy. Now, let me tell you the truth. Maybe you felt like that many times. There's just somebody else with greater faith and just pushed in harder than me, and now he's healed. Let me tell you the truth. Healing is for you today. The key here was, and I believe Jesus came to the man, he said, Are you willing to be healed? And he came to a realization. He realized that he needed somebody to bring healing to him. He needed help to be healed. Because by himself, he couldn't do the right thing in order to be healed. Maybe you've heard so many sermons on what you need to do in order to be healed. And you just feel that you cannot reach that level of holiness to get into that. But let me tell you, you need help. And if you are at that point, this is your day of healing. Amen. It says, the impotent man answered and said, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said, Rise, take up your bed and walk. And the man was healed immediately. So, if you can come to a place where you say, by my effort, I can never put myself in the pool, or by my effort, I can never get myself at the right place of healing. But if you can say, Jesus, I am willing to be healed today. I'm willing, when Bertie has prayed that prayer, or even right now while you're listening, to start to move that legs and start to move your body, saying, man, maybe I've had a stiff arm. Start to move that thing, saying, I am going to stand up out of this chair where I'm listening to Bertie right now, and I'm willing for you to heal me. But I need somebody to help me because by my faith I cannot do it. I just feel too weak. By my efforts I could not do it. But Jesus, help me. That's your day of healing. If you can come to a realization by your efforts, you can never place yourself in the pool of healing. But only by Jesus' word that says, you are the healed, you can be healed, you will be healed today. Amen. That's the only thing. If you can say, I cannot place myself in the pool of healing, but if Jesus just says it, then I will be healed. You will be healed today. Man, isn't that awesome? And that's what's going to happen to you today. You must realize, great faith, and you can go and look at the scripture where the woman came to Jesus, the Canaanite woman, and said to Jesus, Jesus, heal my daughter that's demon-possessed. Jesus said to her, you are a dog. How can I take the bread of the children and give it to the dogs? And then she said, Jesus, you are so good. You are even willing to give food to the dogs. What she was actually saying is, you will care for those who don't even qualify. You will heal those who don't qualify. So maybe you don't feel that you qualify because you don't have the right confession, you didn't have the right faith, you didn't have all the right stuff, you didn't go to church. Maybe you've been swearing at somebody right before you watched this. Let me tell you something. It's not in how holy you are, but it's in how holy He is. It's not in how great your faith is, but it's in how great His compassion is. He loves you. And now is your time for healing. Now, we're going to pray the prayer of faith. I'm going to speak this healing power, and you're going to receive it right now. If you can say today that God can even heal those who's not good enough for healing, if you can say, I cannot place myself at the place of healing, but if He says it, I am healed. By His word, I am healed. You will be healed today. Remember, He carried your sickness and He's ready to heal you. I'm so excited. Now, what I want you to do is just, and I want you to go through this. Don't think, oh well, let me see how bad it does this on the computer screen. Go through this with me because there's a reason why I say these things. And just close your eyes right now. Start to think of Jesus. Start to meditate upon Him upon the cross, carrying your sickness. Father, I just ask in the name of Jesus that You just show every person that picture. The crucified Christ, the crucified Jesus upon the cross. How He carried their sickness. Oh, hallelujah. Just start to see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is your healer. And then I want you to see the resurrected Christ standing with the disciples, walking over to you, looking you in the eye with a smile on His face, glory and radiance coming out of His clothes and out of His eyes, saying to you, you are healed. And see with what faith He says it, because He experienced your sickness, and when He died, that sickness died. I want you to see that faith. Just close your eyes and do this with me. See it. Just see it. And see how He says you are healed. Oh man, there are already people being healed right now. Oh hallelujah. And from the voice of Jesus, from the throne of God, I speak these words. I say, arthritis, be healed now. All pain, disappear from you. People that watch this on the web right now, I say you are healed. You are delivered. You are set free right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Heart disease is being healed. New veins are coming into hearts. Right now, back problems are healed, bone diseases are healed, cancer is rebuked, all death is removed from cancer in the mighty name of Jesus. I just see the glory of God going through cancer and removing it. I see how God's glory is just going through all types of blood disease. Just see how God is just going through your blood, how His glory goes through your blood, how it was upon the cross. He died, it doesn't exist anymore. And you stand up right now and you are healed. You're experiencing the glory of God. Amen. God loves you. In the name of Jesus, be healed right now. Amen. What I would like you to do is just to stand up and start to test your body. Start to do what you couldn't do before. Start to glorify Him. Start to thank Him. Just say, thank you, Jesus. It was upon the cross. And receive it by faith. Receiving is not waiting for it to come. It's to say, I am that. I am healed. Maybe you've had a pain somewhere. Say, I am the healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Hallelujah. It has happened in Jesus' name. And then, man, just enjoy that healing. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I'm happy with you. I know that there are people being healed right now. I rejoice with you. I thank you, Jesus, that you've healed people today. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for miracles that's happened in the lives of people right now. They are the healed. They're the touched of God. They are delivered from all types of sickness. Crutches has just been thrown away. People are standing up out of wheelchairs. Tears are running down faces because of gratitude for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, it's so good to know that I could minister this to you. I would love to hear your praise report. Just click on the button that says, I want to testify in a few short words of what God has done for me. And just send that email. We would love to use that on our TV programs as well. And just to tell people what God's done. And to put your testimony in the testimony section of this website. Man, God bless you. God loves you. And go and watch more of the miracle videos. Go and dig into the Word Well and some of the other sermons that we've got on healing in the Word Well. God bless you.